Back home again in dear old Elmhurst, and it seems that I can see the gleaming front porch lights still burning bright through the seven wards of trees. The backyard skunks send all their fragrance through the streets I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on her salt creek, how I long for my great big Elmhurst home.
Golly!
And now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
And we're back with another episode of the E-Town Lowdown. We have a special guest today, Mary Beth Harper, who's the director of the Elmhurst Public Library, and I'm being shushed. Why am I being shushed? Where are we today? Where are we recording?
It's the library.
We're at the library. And that's our old stereotype of a library, right, guys? So I'm here with Robbie and PK and our special guest, Mary Beth Harper. Welcome, Mary Beth.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
us here.
Where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, actually, but grew up in Oak Lawn. So I'm from the southwest suburbs and then migrated up to Palatine and then back down here to Elmhurst.
Southwest suburbs. So one of the questions we'll ask you later, which we're not going to ask you later now, is are you a Sox fan?
Technically, I grew up that way. Mm-hmm. But my husband is a diehard Cubs fan, as are my sons. So, you know, I have to kind of...
So you're converted to keep peace at home?
No, I just consider myself nothing.
So you grew up a Sox fan and then you grew up and became a Cubs fan.
Wow.
Some people would say that, I guess.
So were you a very young person when you moved to Palatine?
No, actually, I didn't move there until I was about 22.
So where did you go to high school?
Mother Macaulay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yep. Southside girl.
Yep.
Yep.
Maybe what did you something. Do? Did you do anything interesting there in terms of activities or sports or anything like that?
You know, I did not do any sports. Macaulay was a sports powerhouse, volleyball, dynasty, and
right, still
lots
is.
Of tall girls, and I was 5'3", basketball too. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of hung out with friends and had a good time and all that other good stuff.
Did you have siblings?
Yeah, I have two brothers and a sister.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all close in age. And
what ages?
My brother, oldest brother, is 55, 50, I'm trying to remember ages, 53. And then myself, you can figure that one out.
29.
Exactly. Right. And my youngest sister is 49, I guess. Yeah, so.
So what did your parents do for a living?
My father's an engineer and my mother's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Neat. Mm-hmm. Not a librarian.
Not a librarian. In fact, I came to this profession not by way of wanting to be a librarian when I was a little girl.
So what type of music did you listen to in high school?
Oh, I was a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
The
huge.
Boss.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Huge.
First album?
Actually, my first record was a 45, and it was You Are the Woman I've Always Dreamed Of, you know? I'm not going to sing it, because that would sound
Firefall?
Really bad. Yeah, Firefall.
Know it.
Still love that 70s
cheesy
stuff.
70s music. Uh-huh. I'm the expert.
The best.
Ricky, can you knock some of that out for us?
No. Not in key, at least.
Right.
I'm not a word man, you know? How would your high school classmates have described you?
That's an interesting one. Well, I went to school with, I graduated with 514 girls.
Wow.
So Macaulay was a huge school. And I don't know. I certainly wasn't class president. I wasn't the athlete. I wasn't the homecoming queen because we didn't have one at Macaulay. Not that I could have been, but I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe fun.
I think
I'll
you're
say
the homecoming
hopefully.
Queen
yeah.
of the library.
Certainly. Yes. And I certainly wasn't the overly studious one either. So.
Why would they call you fun?
Why would they call me fun? We used to like to have a lot of fun, and I actually think going to an all-girls Catholic school, sometimes we have even more fun than people think we would.
I've heard that.
Yes. Those Catholic school kids.
How do you define fun? I'm going there.
It's going too deep.
Huh. My best friend's name was Mary Pat, so we were Mary Beth and Mary Pat, and we still see each other. We still go on girls' trips every year.
There were probably a whole bunch of Mary Pats and Mary Beths.
Lots of Mary somethings, yes. So, I don't know. We had a lot of fun. Mischievous, good time
fun. Did you have nuns back in the day?
We did. Yeah. We did. Nice. But they did not wear habits. Yeah. Okay. They were more progressive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What would you have written about yourself in your yearbook caption?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Future librarian doesn't know it yet. No, had no idea.
librarian and hiding.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When you consider what I majored in college, yes, I had no. I always liked to read, but certainly we had no ambitions.
So, did you spend much time at the library, either at the high school library or your public library growing up?
I did.
You did.
Uh huh. And I actually.
Planted the seed.
I got kicked out of the Oak Lawn Library once or twice for chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very strict guard there, and he used to walk around and monitor all the kids. And there was also a news agency across the street, the Oak Lawn News Agency, where they sold tons and tons of candy. So we would go to the library, you know, under the guise of studying, but go over there and buy all kinds of candy and then come back and eat it. And they didn't allow us to chew gum. But we didn't care.
Is that
care.
Because you know you wouldn't? They didn't want you to put it underneath
probably,
the tables,
yeah, or in a book,
or did you crack it really loud?
But probably all of the above. If we wanted to. So I actually got kicked out. So I sometimes like to tell that story to people here.
We can chew gum in the library now.
You can chew gum. You can have drinks. You can actually eat things as long as it's not too messy.
You even have a coffee bar for
everybody. We do.
I have my Brewpoint coffee right over here.
Same
so
here.
Do you, PK? Yeah.
We ask that you don't order a pizza and bring it upstairs. You can eat something down in the cafe, though. But yes, we're pretty open about all that.
Nice. Can I smoke cigars here?
Outside. a certain amount of feet away from the building, certainly.
I thought there was a lounge somewhere in here.
Yeah.
Mary Beth, did you have a favorite teacher or administrator at Mother Macaulay?
Oh, boy, so long ago. I actually can't even.
Well, that was only like, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah. Did go on to college, and where did you do that?
I went to Northern Illinois University and actually majored in fashion merchandising.
Hmm. How about in college? Favorite professor?
You know, there was a professor that taught me a marketing class, and I can't even tell you his name now, but he was such a positive person with all these positive sayings, and he was a marketer, and if I could remember his name, I would say he's one of the professors who made an impression on me.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you live on campus at Northern?
I did. I lived a couple different places.
And was that a good experience overall?
Yeah, very good. I had a good time at Northern. Graduated in 4 years and kind of got married right away. Graduated in May and got married in August and had my first child the following May.
Wow.
And graduating in 4 years was pretty tough for some. A lot of kids.
I like to say not really.
They like to say it's tough at least.
And I might offend some people, but not really in the fashion merchandising field. Oh, but, okay. You know.
Did you ever work in the field?
I did. Oh, so when I got out of college, my first job when I was in college, I did an internship with Neiman Marcus out at Oak Brook. Kind of drove back and forth 3 days a week to Neiman Marcus my last semester. And then they hired me when I graduated. So I worked for Neiman Marcus as an assistant manager in the cosmetics department right out of college. But I got pregnant right away, got married, and I was in the cosmetics department, and retail was difficult then, not even close to how difficult it is now as far as hours go. And I was so nauseous during that time when I was pregnant, and when I was in the cosmetics department, they'd be spraying perfume constantly,
yeah.
And I used to have to like kind of hold my breath and run back into the back office. And so anyway, I left there, and that's how I ended up working in libraries.
And was your major the same from when you first started until you graduated, or did you change it?
I started out at a business. No, I started out a French major, and then I was going to be a business major. And then I heard these girls talking about this fashion merchandising major, and it was kind of like, oh, you could major in shopping. And I was really excited, and I went right away and found out about this major and changed my major, and that's what I graduated in, with a business minor.
So did you ever dream that you would be working at a library most
of
your career?
Never, never.
And how exactly did that come about?
So I got married, as I said, and had my first child very young and kind of left and just wanted to work part-time somewhere. And I was up in Palatine at that point, and there was a part-time job at the library for like 12 hours a week or something. And it was starting at the lowest level that there is in a library, which is a page shelving books. So I applied for the job, and it was a couple nights a week and maybe a half a day on Saturday, and I got it. And while I was there working, I kind of was like, oh, this really isn't a bad place to work. And another job came up about 6 or 8 months after I was there, and it was a 20-hour position working in the kids' department, which appealed to me at that point because I had a young child. And so I applied for it, and at that time I also thought, I'm never going to get this job because I am not a teacher, which a lot of people in libraries are either teachers or former teachers, and I have no library background, and I have this fashion merchandising major. So I interviewed for it, and the person I interviewed with was so impressed that I had worked for Neiman Marcus. Like, she wanted to find out all about my discount. We spent the whole time kind of talking about that in the interview, and the thing that I really thought was going to be against me in that interview was the thing that worked for me. Right. So I got that position, and part of the requirements of that position where that I would go back and get a something called an LTA, which is a library technical associate degree from College of DuPage. And so when I looked into it, it was a lot of time.
And this was for a 20-hour job at the time?
Yeah. So it was a lot of time commitment. I think it was 24 classes or something. Wow. And then I thought, well, you know what? Why don't I look into the master's? Because if I'm going to put this much time into it, I already have a degree. Why just get this technical certificate? And I got really lucky because the library I worked at then, which was Palatine, paid for most of my degree. So I got my master's from Dominican University, which was Rosary. And now here I am.
Great. Let's take a quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world. At 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
This is Bob Robertson, Sr. When I have insomnia, I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. Why don't you?
And we're back here on the Lowdown with our special guest, Mary Beth Harper, the director of the Elmhurst Public Library.
So, Mary Beth, you said you were, going to school at Dominican or mm-hmm. Rosary at the time. Mm-hmm. To get your master's, but you were working part-time at the Palatine Library mm-hmm. for like 20 hours a week and,
right.
and going to school and
right.
had a young child.
And
right?
two more in between that time.
Holy
yeah.
mackerel. And so how long did you work at the Palatine Library?
I worked there. You know, I'm really bad at remembering all these dates and stuff, but I think I was there a good 13 to 15 years part-time.
Wow. Nice.
I have to think about my timeline. Yeah, so I went to school, and during that time, it took me about 4 years to go to school. Get my master's because I did part-time. I like took a couple classes,
right.
started out with one class, and I had two other children in between that 4 years. So then worked part-time for many years, and then when my youngest was in kindergarten, maybe I'm really off on my timeline there is how long I worked. No, because I stayed for a while. I went back full-time.
And actually, I happen to know that Dominican has a great reputation for their library science program.
They do. And in yeah. fact, there's only two library science, master's in library science programs in the entire state of Illinois. One is Dominican, which was Rosary when I was there. The other one is University of Illinois. And that's a program now that's almost entirely online. But when I was going, there was nothing online. So you physically had
right.
to go to class. And so I wasn't going to go to U of I. But Dominican does have a very good program. Mm-hmm.
Great.
When did you first get a full-time job then at Palatine?
So that would have been...
Or what was your first full-time job?
So I came back full-time as assistant director.
Oh, wow.
And I worked there as an assistant director for 5 years. And then I went for my first directorship, and I ended up at Ela Area Library, which was Lake Zurich. Northern suburbs up there, and I
right.
stayed there for 5 years, and then I came here, and I've been here for 7.
So how large were those libraries in comparison to Elmhurst?
Well, Palatine serves a population of about 68,000. Palatine's a bigger area, and the library's about 90,000 square feet. Then I went to Ela Area in Lake Zurich, which serves about 34,000. Big, nice library, though, also. And here, we determine the size of the library by population base, which here we serve about 44,000 mm-hmm. in Elmhurst. And of course, we do have this big, beautiful building. So actually, I have had the pleasure of working at several very big, very nice, well-appointed libraries.
And actually, did you come just after this library was built?
No. Actually, This library is, believe it or not, going to be 15 years next year, 15 years old. So Marilyn Boria.
I don't believe it. Wow.
Yeah, yes. I know. It's crazy.
Tempest Fugit.
People can't believe it when they see it. It's in such good condition. Wow. And people still refer to it as the new library.
Right.
So Marilyn Boria was here for many, many years, I think 27 years. And she's the director who actually took the library from the old former Park District location, what's now the Park District location, to this library, and was here for many years after that. And then I replaced her.
How did you find out about this job opening, and why did you decide to pursue it?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story. So I came here shortly after I went to ELA for a tour. And ELA was a very nice library. Again, a beautiful library. I really enjoyed it there. But I came here for a tour to see Elmhurst, and I forget why. I think we were looking at something in libraries. We share information because we don't compete against each other. So Marilyn Boria at that time gave me a tour of the library, and there was something about it. And I remember while taking that tour, I said, if this job ever comes up, I'm going to apply for it. There was just a feeling. And
did you say that to a friend or?
No, I said it to myself at that time. Okay. And then I've told the story many times though, because it was just something about this place that I liked, the town and the feel of this library. And again, I said that to myself, and then
it was calling
about you. Exactly about 4 years later, the job came up, and I kind of always had it on my radar. And I applied for it. And I was just out to lunch with my department heads, and we were talking about that because they came to ELA, a couple of them, to look at a system we had, a sorting system for books. And when I knew Elmhurst was coming up to take this tour while I was at ELA, I said, well, I'm going to go and give that tour because I want to, you know, check these people out. And I did. I gave them the tour and I liked them all. And they said they got back in the car, and that was when the job was up here. And they said, we have to ask her to apply for the job here. So it was kind of weird.
Wow.
Yeah, the way the whole thing worked out.
So other than Marilyn, did you know any of the other staff here before you applied?
I didn't know anybody. No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Yep.
And how many staff members are at the Elmhurst Public Library?
Oh, sorry. Oh, Elmer's about 150 or so.
And how many are full-time versus part-time?
About 41, 42 full-time and the rest part-time.
And then there's a board that oversees the operation, if you will.
Right. We have a 9-member board, and they are appointed by the mayor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They serve three-year terms, and then they can be reappointed. So, yeah.
So outside of that, what relationships do the city and the library have outside of the fact that the mayor appoints the board?
Technically, we are part of the city.
Okay.
So we're considered a city library as opposed to a district library, which a district library is like a school district where they levy their own taxes and their own separate entity. We are part of the city. However, we have our own levy, our own budget, and then our own governing board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we do have a nice working relationship with the city. They provide several services for us that if we were a district, we would have to provide on our own payroll, insurance. We're in their insurance pool, which is fantastic for us because it makes our insurance pool much larger. They also finance. We work with their finance department very closely, and they actually levy for us. I give them the amount to levy for, but they do the levy. So we have a very close working relationship.
So do you have to go before city council with a budget every year and make a presentation like a lot of other city departments?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not a very fun experience, is it?
You know, it's not too bad, and they're very, very, very kind.
What kind of budget are we talking about here?
Well, about a $6.8 million operating budget.
Wow.
Another $1.456 million, depending on what our bond payment is, bond payment.
What's the term for a library trustee? How long?
3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how many did you say you have?
Nine. 9-member board.
And are several of those have served more than one term, I assume?
Yes. Actually, we have a different amount of terms right now. One of my board members, the one who's been here the longest, who's, you know, invaluable and with her historical knowledge, was here while the library was being built, actually even before. So it's great to have her on board. She's a long-term board member. Then we have a couple other people who've actually been here, I want to say now, as long as 10 years. Then we have a couple people who are newer. I think my shortest tenured board member is about 2 years, and that's because someone actually left. They sold their house here in Elmhurst, so they have to resign their position. and we needed someone else to take over. But a couple 4 or 5 year term, people have served about 4 or 5 years now. So we've got a really good mix of people.
And do they have to be residents of the community?
They have to be residents. They have to be Elmhurst residents. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How many patrons does the library serve either in a month or a year, however you keep track of that?
So we have about, on average, 517,000 visits a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot. A lot of repeat business, a lot of people who come here often. You know, it's kind of, some people come here once a week, some people come here once a day, some people come here once a month. There's that whole, mm-hmm. you know.
What about online? How many people visit online versus come into?
A lot. And certainly there are lots of things you can do just online and never have to come in here, because you can download audiobooks and ebooks and you can do all that stuff online. There's all kinds of streaming video services now and things like that, databases. A lot of businessmen use those. So I don't really know how many people strictly use online and don't come in, or strictly come in and don't use online. But there certainly are a lot more services now available online, and you can download, again, you can download your books right on your phone. Or
so actual physical books, how many are housed here approximately?
So books, I'm not exactly sure. I want to say about under 400,000 at this point.
Okay. And how about ebooks, as you mentioned a minute ago, quite a few of those available?
Quite a few available, but the interesting thing about ebooks versus physical books are physical books were sort of decreasing the amount of physical books we have, not sure. vastly or grossly or all at once, but that's kind of declining as we get more and more ebooks or digital books. So there's still not the amount of digital books available that there are physical books, but I don't even know what our holdings are right now in digital books, but we're certainly growing that every year. We keep kind of decreasing the physical book budget and increasing the digital book budget.
How about on the children's side and the children's library? Are there, does that tend to be more physical books?
Lots of them, but there's still lots and lots of e-resources too, because kids are so digital nowadays, you know? And you think about when I came here 7 years ago, we had a reference book collection. Those are the books that don't check out, that you just use
right.
primarily to answer reference questions. You probably used them in college.
The old encyclopedias.
Exactly. All that stuff. So mm-hmm. 7 years ago when I was here, I think we had 6 rows of reference books, and now we have 1/2 a row of reference books.
Right.
So
what's the biggest fine? The biggest fine that you've ever had to levy on somebody.
Robbie, you probably hold it.
Yeah. You can't go over, I can't remember what it is, but once you hit a threshold of, I want to say like $20, you don't go, well, maybe that's not true, $20 per item. So I'm not exactly sure. And where the big fines come into place are if people have lost items. You know, we're not as concerned about getting your money because you turn things in late. It's more if people lose things, then we
see,
have
Rob,
to
Robbie, replace it. Robbie to replace used to them. Check out yeah. Mad Magazine when he was a kid when the library was at the Wilder Mansion, and he might still have a few of those. At
some Are point, you on the list?
At some point, you just buy the book, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You do. And a lot of people do think it's funny when people used to come up to me and say, oh, I have some fines, and like thinking we have a physical list of all these patrons with fines, and
you put a boot on their tire.
Exactly.
Out there, don't you?
No, that's not the case at all.
So do you have any advice for anyone that wants to become a librarian or a library administrator?
Well, that's
interesting. What do you consider yourself? Are you a librarian? I mean, I know you're a library administrator, but do you consider yourself a librarian also?
I do. That would technically be my degree title. I'm a library director, though. I don't really work out here in the sense of a reference librarian, someone who's out here answering questions. I do serve some time on a kid's desk, and I could jump in, but I certainly don't know all the stuff that they know or have all the ins and outs of answers. Plus, a lot of what our staff is doing now when they're serving the public is answering all kinds of technical questions about your technology, about how do you use your iPhone, how do you use your this or that, or something very, very technology-oriented questions.
So what would your advice be for somebody who wants to get into the field?
Spend time in libraries, see if it's what you like, maybe job shadow, interview people, and then go and find one of the schools. There's not a ton to go to, and get your degree. And you have to get a degree to be considered a librarian, but there are libraries now that are hiring a lot of other positions besides classic librarian positions. We have creative specialists, and IT is big in libraries now. There's we have a new makerspace in the basement, and we, like, again, we've hired a lot of creative people for those jobs. Right. So the library world's really changing.
Let's take a quick break here on the Lowdown. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, this is Southside Maryland Manrow. That's M-A-N-R-O-W. Gentlemen prefer blondes, but I prefer Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst E-Town Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
And we're back on the E-Town Lowdown with our special guest, Mary Beth Harper, the director of the Elmhurst Public Library. And now it's time for our favorite segment, the E-Town Lowdown Mowdown, where we mow down our special guests to their very core. Are you ready for this, Mary Beth?
I don't know, am I?
Here you go. Paperback or hardcover?
Paperback, but trade paperback.
Cronkite or rather?
Rather.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Oh, I like them both.
French fries or onion rings?
Oh, I like those too, both.
Flannel or silk?
Flannel.
Restaurant or home cooking?
Oh, I like both of those too. I love to cook and I love to go out to a restaurant.
Shakespeare or Harlequin?
Shakespeare.
Book or movie?
Book, probably.
Gotta say that, right? Ping pong or pool?
Ping pong.
Dinner or supper?
Dinner.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke, Diet Coke.
Morning or evening?
Evening.
East Coast or West Coast?
Probably West.
Sweet or salty?
Again, both. Sweet and salty together is a great combination, too.
That's salted caramels.
Yeah, yes, so exactly.
E-book or conventional book?
Conventional book?
James Brown or James Taylor?
Taylor.
Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics?
Probably summer.
Wisconsin or Michigan?
Wisconsin.
Sun-Times or Tribune?
Trib.
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Paper or plastic?
Oh, paper.
Tile or hardwood?
Oh, I like them both. Hardwood in most places, tile in the bathrooms.
Okay, the beach or the mountains?
Mountains.
The Beatles or the Stones?
Beatles.
Golf or baseball?
I'm not going to say I like playing either. I don't mind watching golf because the courses are so beautiful. My husband spends a ton of time watching golf, but my son played a lot of baseball and he played in college. So I'm going to say both too. How's that?
Okay.
Understandable. Actually, When Harry Met Sally or Dirty Harry?
When Harry Met Sally. Oh,
okay. Red or black licorice?
Oh, red.
Drive or fly?
Oh, I like to drive. Yeah.
Favorite sport?
Probably baseball.
Okay. Appetizers or hors d'oeuvres?
Appetizers.
Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks?
Hanks.
Elevator or stairs?
Well, I should say stairs, right? That's the correct answer.
What's your favorite holiday?
Probably Christmas.
Fallon or Kimmel?
Fallon.
Pay-per-view or movie theater?
Pay-per-view, but my husband wouldn't like that answer.
And the last question is golf or tennis?
Not good at either. Golf.
Good answer. All good answers. Will be right back on the Lowdown.
The Camp Town ladies sing this song. Do-da. Do-da. The Camp Town racetrack's 5 miles long. Oh, the do-da day. I bet my money on a bobtailed nag.
The staff and management of the E-Town Lowdown would like to assure our more sensitive listeners that our food critic Sal is really half Italian. His mother is from Poland, and his father is from the great country of Italy. We hope you will enjoy and not be offended.
Hey, E-Town. It's Slappy Sal, the half-Italian food critic here, with yet another food review for you. So last week, I'm over there at Roberto's Ristorante on Spring Road. It's me and my guy, Fabio Narducci, headed over for some eats. First thing right away, we see Pasquale, the boss. I says, hey, Pasquale, how you doing? He says, hey, Sal, how you doing? Fabio says, hey, Pasquale, how you doing? Pasquale says, hey, Fabio, how you doing? So, you know, it breaks up into some small talk, usual kind of stuff. Bada bing, bada boom, bada boop. Vini vidi vici, vini testa verdi. You know, the stuff all us Italians talk about. But enough about that. So we grab some calamari. Bellissimo. It's beautiful. Just the way it should be. Nicely done. Can't go wrong there. So Fabio grabs a Stella. I go with a Chianti. Why? Because I can. And we're ready to mangia. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So for me, it's an easy call. Veal scallopine. Fabio goes with the chicken Vesuvio. Not for nothing. It's like being at my grandmother's on a Sunday, minus her swearing at my grandpa in Italian. Nothing's better than good veal at an Italian restaurant, and Roberto's slays it. Fabio says the chicken and potatoes are buonissimo. For those of you who aren't even half Italian, that means, you know, very good food. But we ain't done, because we can't leave without trying some pizza. Come on, I had to know if it's legit or not. I'm a sausage pizza guy, but Fabio says I gotta branch out, so I let him order. He goes way out there. Spinach, fresh tomato, and garlic. And I'm over there thinking, que schifo, you know, God disgusting. But what do I know? It's phenomenal. Sometimes I'm a little stunned. Turns out it's a hell of a pie. Big wads of spinach, fresh garlic, tomatoes are tasty. I hate to admit that that jabroni is right, but it turns out Fabio knows his pizza. So here's the thing. Narducci and I agree, Roberto's is a true Italian gem. No complaints here, so go check it out. This is Slappy Sal, the half-Italian food critic, reporting for the Eat Town Lowdown.
The Camp Town ladies sing this song. Do-da, do-da. The Camp Town racetrack's 5 miles long. Oh, the do-da day.
Assistant groundskeeper, I can't afford cable TV. The Dalai Lama himself recommended I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
And we're back on the Lowdown with our special guest, Mary Beth Harper, the director of the Elmhurst Public Library.
Tell us about the coffee shop and how it came to be.
Coffee shop. So they put a coffee shop in here when they first built the library, and it was kind of a relatively new thing at that point. And I think at first, this was long before I was here, Lavazza was the vendor.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, and then they pulled out, and then the nuns were here. The nuns from, and I don't know what the order is, a French order, and they worked here for a while. And then we had a local vendor who was wonderful, and she was here for many years, Judy. And then she came to me last summer and said, hey, I really want to, you know, retire, sort of, work with her husband. So I approached Brew Point, another local vendor who people seem to really enjoy in this area, and asked Melissa, who's the owner of Brew Point.
They're a real up-and-comer in the business community.
Yeah,
here.
For sure. And I said, hey, would you guys ever be interested in coming in here? And she looked at it, did the research, and at that time, they were also opening the new place up north.
North York, yeah.
Yeah, and
the Roastery.
The Roastery, right. So she looked into it and said, yeah, we'll try it. And they've been here since, gosh, when is it? September, I want to say. And they're doing great. And we really like having them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping to have Melissa as one of our future guests, as a matter of fact.
Great.
What services do you offer at the drive-up window?
So you can do just about everything there except for get a library card, because it takes
a cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee. We don't bring coffee. Right. If we started that, it would probably end up being mostly, exactly.
So what are the common things that somebody might go to the window for?
Most often it's picking books up or dropping, you know, turning books in, but there's also a chute for your books. You can just drive right through and stick your returns in there, but it's mostly picking books up, and you have a choice now when you put a book on hold if you want to pick it up inside or at the drive up.
Can I pay a fine there?
You can. Awesome. You actually can.
I'm worried about those fines. I think you have some...
Guilty conscience.
Yeah. Scarred background.
They're looking for those Mad magazines still, Robbie.
There are a lot of meeting rooms, and I noticed, too, today, middle of the day, on a weekday, they're all busy. Mm-hmm. That's really impressive. So what goes on in all those different meeting rooms, and how does that work?
You know, when we renovated this upper level, which is what we call the Adult Services Department, we had 5 meeting rooms, small study rooms, and we put in 7 more. Forgive me, maybe it was 9 more, and I should know that, but... we did it because they were always, always busy. We can't accommodate enough people. I could have the whole place full of meeting rooms, and they'd probably all be used. So all kinds of things go on there. From what I can tell anecdotally, just by walking around, lots of meetings, tutoring. We do have a group of gentlemen that come in, I think, weekly and play chess. Oh, we have a group of ladies who sit around and knit in there. So there's just all kinds of great things that go on. And a great usage of the library. It's one of my favorite things to do is to kind of walk around sometimes and just look at what people are doing, not look at what people are doing as far as being nosy, but just kind of notice all the different things that are going on in the library. And I find it really energizing because it's used for so many different things.
Can you reserve those online then?
You can reserve them online. It's really easy to do that. We have a system called DIBS. It'll actually even send you a reminder. It'll send
you a great name.
Chicago name.
Right. Yeah. It'll send you a reminder too when your time is up. And you do have to be an Elmhurst resident with an Elmhurst card to reserve those rooms.
To reserve the room, then they put a lawn chair in front of the door so you can't get in. So you got DIBS on it.
So can the rooms be reserved for any purpose?
Yeah, just about. What we don't allow you to do, we have large meeting rooms here too, which certainly the community uses, and they're a huge benefit to the community, is come in here as a commercial business and sell something to people or try to. Okay. We do have commercial entities in Elmhurst who do use the meeting rooms. In fact, we have one, someone here in Elmhurst uses it regularly, and he uses it to train staff. So he hosts big meetings here where they're training, I think it's kind of realtors in this area and other things. So that's another big usage of the meeting room.
Tell us about the business services area.
So the business services area is always busy. It's where our computers are and lots of computer usage going on. And then we have like small cubicles and booths. And seems to me, again, anecdotally, a lot of people come in here to use the space who might work from home, need to get out of the house a little bit. Sometimes they might need to meet with someone and they don't want to meet with them in their home. So that's business center is really used for that a lot. We also have something new that we started called Business Work Connections. And again, forgive me, but our business librarian, whose name is Cheryl Fortman, set something up where once a month people can come in here and use the gathering room, which is a little larger meeting room. And if they're working from home people, they can use the gathering room. And the idea is that they're all in there together and they can kind of, if there's a lawyer in there, this person can ask this question and that person can ask question. And it's sort of like a shared workspace.
It's
we
work thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of shared workspaces in the city,
right?
But you have to pay to use them. And she started it out through working with the chamber. She's our chamber liaison and we're a member of the chamber. And she started this program out and so far it's been successful.
And if somebody doesn't live in Elmhurst, but they work in Elmhurst, how do they go about?
They can get something called a Work Perks card, which actually gives you a lot of privileges at the library, a lot more than someone who is not from this town who can still use their library card here to check materials out, but isn't able to use the meeting rooms or the reserve study room or put books on hold or use the makery for that matter. But the Work Perks card actually allows you to do all of that stuff. So it gives you many of the same privileges that an Elmhurst resident has.
And we talk about the makery, but that's really a lot of different things going on there. What are all the things you can do in the makery?
Oh, there's so much to
do. Or some of
there.
The things you can do.
Yeah. So makery is a makerspace. Makerspaces started popping up in libraries maybe about 5 to 7 years ago. And we saw the potential for having one here. We had this basement downstairs, which is wonderful. It was wonderful to have because before that it was just a storage space and it was unfinished. And we kind of saw that as the potential of being a makerspace. So we were able to minimally, I'll say, finish it. We left the floor concrete. We left all the beams exposed. We added electric, but we pulled it down from the ceiling as opposed to trenching the floor and kind of left the space industrial-like, which is really nice for a makerspace. So down there, you have all kinds of high-end equipment and machinery where you can create. and tinker. There's 3D printers down there. There's a laser cutter, which is a really popular machine. There's a Carvey, which is basically a router. There's die-cut machines. There's embroidery machines, sewing machines, Cricuts and Silhouettes, which are paper cutting machines, and a whole lot more. So there's just a whole bunch of things you can do down there. It's also a space for people to work and create in.
And you offer classes on how to use those pieces of equipment and everything too, right?
We sure do. We offer classes on how to use the equipment down there. And it's been a very popular space so far, and our patrons are really enjoying it.
Mary Beth gave some of my coworkers and I a tour a couple weeks ago of the Makery space. And so I took PK down there before we started recording this podcast today, and the folks that were down there were very helpful answering our questions. Right. And it's a delight to go down there and see people that are really excited about mm-hmm. what they're doing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. They're great. And to learn all those different machines was really no easy.
Those huge printed posters.
I know. Oh, yeah, the big poster printer.
Yeah, and the laminator. And mm-hmm.
What are the hours of the Makerspace?
So Monday we're closed, but then Tuesday it's 1 to 8:30. Wednesday it's 12 to 8:30. Okay. 12 to 5 on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, 12 to 8:30, and Saturday and Sunday we're open too.
Great.
How does having the Makery here impact your insurance premiums?
You know, it doesn't. It's real interesting that you asked that, because we assumed too that we would have to increase our liability insurance, and we met with our broker, and she said, no, it's covered just like everything else is around here. So it hasn't increased our premiums, but we kind of assume the same thing in the beginning.
Are there any age restrictions, age minimums or anything like that?
Yes, you have to be in junior high to be down there alone.
I think it's fascinating, because I remember going to the library a lot when I was a little kid, and I'd ride my bike up and sit in the stacks and read books all day and that kind of thing. But, you know, that was pretty much all you did in the library. Now, there's all these different projects you can get involved in and creative things mm-hmm. you can do. I mean, we're sitting in here in a room that has an electronic guitar thing, and there you can make videos and music and everything. It's incredible. It'd be a riot to hang out here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, these creative studios are really neat. Tell us a little bit about them.
So, where we're sitting right now is called the Creative Studio, and we have three creative studios. The one we're in is the largest one, and it's primarily for sound or video recording. So we have all this high-end sound equipment in here that we're using now. We also have all the software people need, so you can record music or you can do a podcast like we're doing today. We also have a green screen so you can do video. But again, lots of high-end equipment, stuff you might not have at home, high-end software. And then we have two smaller rooms that have all the equipment like Photoshop, a lot of graphics software.
Photoshop, Ricky.
Yeah.
And we're not used to recording in such a great environment where we're normally having to take background noise out constantly, and it's so dead quiet in here.
Yeah.
Right, it's nice.
Soundproofed, yeah, mostly soundproofed.
Hey, do you offer classes on the software for the music world that I see around us? I'm just curious about that specifically.
We do. We offer classes on, I think we have GarageBand in here, and there's another software, and I'm not exactly sure what it is. If you're a musician, you would know, but we do offer classes on
GarageBand about a year ago, and I still haven't figured out how to use it.
Comes with a Mac.
Well, you know, the other thing I'm going to tell you about, Paul, is that one of our databases, which is something really wonderful that's available to patrons too, there's something called lynda.com. And lynda.com, a lot of businesses subscribe to it because it has all kinds of tutorials on almost any software product you can imagine, or even on how to use a camera or how to use... Definitely has GarageBand, but it's really great because you can sit at home and you can take all these tutorials, and they're in segments too. So if you haven't checked out lynda.com, it's just amazing what you can find on there if you're looking to learn something.
You touched on ebooks a little bit earlier. What formats do those ebooks come in?
So we have a service called Overdrive, which you can actually put right on your phone, and you can download ebooks. I'm a big audiobook listener. I have about a 45-minute commute in the morning, or half hour in the morning, 45 minutes on the way home.
Try a podcast.
I do. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this is going to be my new favorite one, no doubt.
Thank you.
But I do. I love podcasts too. They're wonderful. So I do. I listen to a lot of ebooks. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. The other thing I use audiobooks for, believe it or not, is to fall back asleep at night when I can't, when I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go to sleep.
That would be our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can pretty much get an ebook for any normal big format. Like, I mean, I have a Kindle and I know I download onto my Kindle.
Yes, you can download onto your Kindle. You can download onto your phone, iPad. Yeah.
So you do some of your best reading driving to and from work.
I do. Yes, I actually do. Nice. And I find listening to a book, sometimes you talked about fiction or nonfiction, some of those more difficult nonfiction books where I might kind of fall asleep, listening to it's a very different experience and you have to stay awake because you're driving. So I get a lot of that stuff done.
There's so much technology around here now. Who handles all the technology?
Oh, mostly all of our great people who work out there. We have librarians who really are technology specialists, and we have a whole segment of the population of our workforce, which is called a technology specialist. And we are just constantly hiring more of those because keeping up with all this new technology is tough but fun and keeps everybody on their toes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What library sharing system do you use to share books between other libraries?
We're in something called Linkin, L-I-N-K-I-N. And so we are considered a standalone library where we aren't truly in a consortium, but you can click easily into this Linkin consortium and get books from libraries. Some of the libraries that are in that are Arlington Heights, Skokie, Naperville, Deerfield, Waukegan, Wheaton. So big libraries with big collections, and they only lend, you can only get books from them that we don't have here. So
and then that's you must work with some of the school teachers and administrators around here. Mm-hmm. How's that all worked out?
So we have great relationship with District 205, and what we consider our role in that relationship is to support the curriculum that District 205 is using. And we also, teachers will send us lists of books that say, for instance, their summer reading list that they're required reading. Students have to read one of these books on the list. We'll stock all kinds of copies of those books. We also provide books to the teachers in their classrooms. So if they call us and say, or fill out a form and say, hey, we're doing a unit on fire safety and we need 20 or 30 books on fire safety to supplement our classroom library, we'll bag all those books up for them, and then District 205's van comes over and picks them up and drops them off to the teacher. And we just have a great relationship kind of back and forth. We do programs in the school. We provide the summer reading program here that kids are really interested in so that they don't lose all that learning that they've gained during the school year, that they're staying reading and keeping up. So the next year when they go back, they haven't dropped down a level.
While we're on that, what spaces do you have in the library for either high schoolers or tweens?
So the new teen space up here has been a big success. We always had a teen space, but it used to be in the open up here. We kind of got some complaints about the teens being a little too loud now and then. So we built them their own special room, and it's really fabulous. In fact, today I walked in there. I don't go up there too often. And we don't go in there as adults when they're in there. You know, we try to stay away from that room unless there's an issue. But there's this huge wall that they can write on. And it's so interesting to see the different things that they're putting up on this wall. Today I went in and somebody had drawn these caricatures. And it's pretty incredible. And then you'll see all these long mathematical equations. And at times they've posted notes, they being the teens, to each other, like, hey, we're holding a whatever. Somebody used to hold a gaming thing in the gathering room every Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the summer. We're holding this there. So the communication is really interesting. And when we first got it, they communicated with us through that wall too. Like, hey, we need chargers, phone chargers in here. And it was really cool because they might not have ever come to us and told us that stuff.
Right. Right.
And we also have a texting service. If there is an issue in the gathering room, they can text us and let us know, hey, there's so-and-so is doing this or doing that. So it's great. That's a great space. And downstairs, our kids department is currently being renovated. And we are actually building the tweens a space down there. It'll be a little mini version of what goes on up here in the teen space because they technically can't come up here until they're in high school. Yet they're too old for those little children's areas down there. So they're going to have a really cool room with a gaming console in it and more adult-like furniture, you know.
So across the street from here, across Prospect, is the Elmhurst College Library. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if you work with that library in any way.
So we have a relationship with the Elmhurst College Library in that they're an academic library. We're a public library. We don't repeat services. They have a collection that we don't have. We have a collection that they don't have. So they have all their academic stuff, and we wouldn't carry that stuff because we aren't an academic library. And their students, if you live on campus, actually can get a library card here while they're living on campus. And then they use us for things like popular movies and games and, you know, popular fiction or whatever they're reading that's not at the college library that the college library wouldn't carry. Our residents can also use the college library if there's something they need that's really an academic sort resource or something that we wouldn't carry. So it really works nicely. And we also, they can use our spaces, the students, and we actually hire a lot of those kids. So it's really nice to have them right there.
They're a great resource.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. Yeah. Yep.
Tell us about the Library of Extraordinary Things.
The Library of Extraordinary Things is really fun too. So that is things that you would not normally consider a library having to lend. So this was another type of thing that was kind of popping up in libraries. A lot of libraries had cake pans. They were circulating cake pans. So we kind of thought to ourselves, well, what do we want to circulate here? So first of all, we looked at our community and what our community likes and does and needs and kind of tried to come up with some unique things. And I really like to cook, so I did put my own personal spin on it. We lend a lot of small kitchen appliances.
Really?
Things, yeah, that you might not normally want to keep in your house, but you might want to use once in a while. For
like a bread maker?
Yeah, we don't have a bread maker, okay. But we have things like that ice cream maker, a waffle iron, like a cool waffle iron that's a Mickey Mouse one, canning equipment, a food dehydrator, a raclette grill. And this weekend, I actually took out the pasta machine and the ravioli mold. I had some people over at my house and we made some ravioli. So,
were you invited, Robbie?
No, I wasn't.
But next time. Next
what
time.
Are the fines for those if you keep them out too late?
So you get them for a week, and I think it might be $1 a day. I can't even remember. Yeah.
Is that typical of the items in there about a week or
about
all,
a week.
Exactly a week?
Yeah,
all of them?
And you can renew them, though, if you want to keep them longer. But say you want to make ice cream with your kids, you know, and you don't want to have an ice cream machine because you're going to use it once a year. You can check it out from us, make your ice cream, and return it.
That's neat.
So we had a great time with the pasta maker and the ravioli form. But
can I reserve? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Can I reserve that online?
You can reserve that. Mm-hmm. And we also have a whole bunch of other stuff, not just cooking equipment, but we lend knitting needles and crochet needles and GoPro cameras. And
wow.
Brewing equipment?
We don't do that, but we had talked about that. So that might be on the horizon. We have a beer club here that really is pretty into it. Before we move on to, we lend hotspots. So mobile hotspots. Oh, so nice. If you're going on a vacation, you can check out a hotspot.
Robbie, before you check out any of that cooking equipment, you should take some cooking lessons.
We have that too. We have a lot of cookbooks. Goes right in line with what we're doing here.
Tell us about any programs you may have for seniors.
Oh, we have a lot of programs for seniors here. Seniors are some of our most dedicated patrons. So we, a few years ago, really stepped up our programming lineup. We have a lot of programs here. And we opened up a whole new segment of programming for seniors, mostly during the day, which makes sense because a lot of seniors don't like to go out at night and they need something to do during the day or they want something to do. So we have clubs that meet. We have a bridge club. We have, I think, might be Canasta, another card club that meets. We have a whole bunch of movies. The seniors love the movies. Friday movies at 2 o'clock, free popcorn. We get sometimes...
Well, they view together.
Yeah, we get about 50 or 60 people here sometimes for those. We have something called Culture Club, which is in the morning.
Boy George.
Not that Culture Club.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was still stuck on the
I don't know
music.
If that's a senior thing. Maybe eventually when our generation is. But it's Culture Club, and they basically explores different countries, and someone comes in and talks about the culture in that country. We provide a little snack, but that is a very, very popular program. They'll even bring busloads of people over from Park Place or from Lexington.
Really?
The other segment of programming we've developed is a lot of support group programming. We have a fascia care group that meets here, and that was a patron-driven program. Someone came to us and said, hey, we need a space to meet. We have a caregiver group that meets here. We have a dementia / Alzheimer's group that meets here to do crafting and things. So a lot of great stuff like that, too.
So is the library still a space where you need to be quiet?
Mm.
That's how we grew up.
Yeah, it sure is. Yes and no. So there are parts of the library where people like it quiet. When you're up here on this floor that we're on, the adult services floor, the south side of the building tends to be much quieter, and we kind of enforce those quiet rules a little bit more. We don't go over there and walk around and monitor people, but they kind of self-monitor themselves and know that that's more of a quiet area. This area on this side of the room where our business center is and the computers and all these meeting rooms tends to be louder. You can use your cell phone as long as you're being appropriate on your cell phone and not yelling or being really obnoxious. But you can talk, you can have meetings out there, you can have meetings here. So not on this side, and certainly in the kids department. Yeah, if you're yelling and screaming, we're going to ask you to please keep it quiet. But kids are kids, and they're going to be exuberant.
And there's no chewing gum police.
No chewing gum police here.
Oh, I wish you were my librarian growing up. A lot of shh.
Yeah, no, that's not the library world anymore, at least not at this library. So,
tell us about the Fine Print.
Fine Print. So that's our newsletter, and it has a wealth of information, and all of our programs are listed in there. It has grown from a trifold. When I first came, it was a trifold thing that came in the mail and had maybe 6 pages in it, to now, I don't know how many we have. Maybe we're up to 30 pages or something, and it's more of a magazine format. All of our programs, we also do include some articles in there. We always try to advertise things we have that aren't programs, like a different database. We have a new database called ArtistWorks, which is another one you can use from home, where you can actually learn to play the guitar via ArtistWorks at home, or all kinds of musical equipment, but it's taught by... So we advertise a lot in there, too.
Okay.
Market.
Where do you print it at? Is it printed here?
We don't print it here. We actually send it out, and it's a local printer, and I sign those invoices every month, and I can't even tell you what the name is because it's just become routine for you. So we do design it in-house, and then we send it out to be printed and mailed.
Obviously, a modern library is nothing like the library that we experienced as children, and I think it's a lot better off for it. So let's take another quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back.
This is Mary Beth Harper, director of the Elmhurst Public Library, and you're listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts Robbie and Rick, but PK is the one with all the talent.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything, unlike anything. And we're back here on the E-Town Lowdown with our very special guest, Mary Beth Harper, who's the director of the Elmhurst Public Library. And we want to get to know Mary Beth personally a little bit better. You mentioned that you really enjoy cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a little research and found out you did. Do you have any experience in either the restaurant business, catering, anything like that?
So I used to teach cooking classes.
Oh, wow.
And then I kind of catered. I actually catered for a while, sort of part-time. And it got to be kind of a big business because every time I did a job, somebody else would ask me to do another job. And I was actually working full time too.
And were you doing full meals or like appetizers? Yeah, and
all kinds of stuff. Somebody would say to me, oh, I'm having a shower, or I'm having a party at my house. And I would put together a menu for them and do all the food and then actually go and do the party for them too. So I was really busy for a while. And
what's the largest party you ever catered?
Oh, one time I did an office in downtown Chicago, an office party, and it was like 1,000 people.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really crazy.
That's a much bigger number than I expected.
Yeah,
you to
it was
say.
Really
yeah.
crazy.
I thought you were going to say 150.
And you're doing this on the side. You're
yeah.
saying. Yeah.
That's, by yourself?
I worked first through the cooking school I was with and then did other jobs for friends and stuff. But again, it just got into every time I did a party, someone would say, oh, can you do this for me or could you do that for me? And I would kind of just get pulled into another job and another job and another job and just kind of.
So you
like
to cook when you did that, you know, the catering, did you enjoy that or was that more of a job?
I really did like a lot of aspects of it. It was a real creative outlet for me. So I love that. I love menu planning. And sometimes I would be, you know, driving to the job, like, I'm never doing this again. And then I would go and do the job and it would be a success and people were like, oh, that was so good. And I'd be like, okay, I'll do it again. So I kind of finally just had to say, no, I'm not doing it anymore. But it's a real creative outlet for me and I really like cooking. I love menu planning and just putting together creative ideas and it was a lot of fun. But
so would there ever be a restaurant in your future?
Never.
So when you catered, were you,
that's
on,
a commitment.
Were you yeah. on time?
Yeah,
because
always.
I don't know
yeah.
about you guys, but I've experienced a few caterers that
no.
tend to run late.
Never. And it was, I mostly did a lot of stuff in their house too. And then there was never a foil anything on the table.
Do you have a particular cuisine?
No, I don't.
You do
like,
it all?
Like my answers, I don't consider myself a fabulous chef. I'm a good cook, but I'm a good idea creative person. But I like everything, and I get kind of into things for a certain amount of time. I'm into Asian. I'm into Mexican. I'm, you know.
So do you have to follow a recipe, or can you go to a refrigerator and create a meal?
Both. A little bit of both.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
Do you experiment?
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure.
What about baking?
I love to bake, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people like to cook or bake. I like both, yeah.
You're a Renaissance woman.
Sure.
Do you enjoy the TV Food Network or the Cooking Channel?
I do, but, you know, sometimes those shows are a little bit... I actually like the ones on PBS better, and I can't stand...
Who in particular?
I like Ina Garten on the Food TV Network, but on PBS...
Have you ever had her onion dip?
Yes. I've made that for lots of catering jobs. The one with, it's like the French onion dip from package, the Lipton package, but they use real onions and you caramelize the onions. Yeah. But my husband still wants that Lipton package.
You should be making that for us.
That's what
sometime.
I make it with.
Yeah. My husband loves that. Yeah. But yeah, and PBS has just a lot of good shows and they don't do
any
reality.
Other in particular names?
Oh, I actually like Martha Stewart on PBS. I like Ming.
Simply Ming.
Ming Tsai. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's good. Yeah.
Did you watch Julia Child when you were young?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, and I really liked her. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Did you see the movie Julie and Julia?
I did. Yes, good movie.
It really was.
Mm-hmm.
So we already asked you if you prefer to read a conventional or an e-book, but do you do both?
I do both. For a while, I was really into the Nook, and I really like that format because the Nook is not a backlit screen, so it's not hard on the eyes. I'm not crazy about reading an e-book on a computer, because the backlit screen is hard for your eyes, but I do really like a Nook, and I find we actually lend Nooks here preloaded with all kinds of books on them. So to me, if you're going on a vacation or something, you can take that thing with you, and there's right now some of them have 50 or 60 books preloaded on them, which is fantastic because you are always have something. So I do really like the Nook format, but I still don't mind reading a book too.
So do you ever take relaxing vacations where you don't have a schedule every day?
Oh, yeah.
And when you do that, how much do you read?
I wouldn't say I read excessively on vacation at all. Because I guess I kind of like sightseeing more than, you know, and we tend to travel with friends sometimes, so then you're just, you know, you're not sitting around reading.
Right.
Is your husband a reader?
Little bit. He is, but he
isn't.
It's
hard to read when you're golfing.
Yeah, he loves to golf, and he's a huge movie lover, like loves movies. So he's...
Do you share the same taste in movies as
your husband? No, no. In fact, my husband has a guy movie night. When we first got married, Tuesday nights are my board meetings once a month, and he formed this group. We went to a movie by himself one Tuesday night, and then he formed this group of guys at work, and they go specifically to see movies that I won't see, like those action adventures, something really violent or whatever. So he goes to some buffet, and then they go to this guy movie night.
I like that idea. How about you, PK?
Yeah, I've been trying to get that going.
You have, haven't you? Do you have any professional mentors?
Yes. Actually, kind of funny, the person who originally hired me way back when in Palatine lives here in town now. And she was a librarian at the Palatine Library and was the person who hired me and who was impressed with my Neiman Marcus background. And her husband was the director of the Palatine Library. And he lives here too in town. They live over off of Addison. And he was a fabulous mentor to me, really helped me grow my career and gave me a lot of opportunity. Was the one who suggested, called me into his office one day at Palatine and said, Mary Beth, these three directorships are available. You should apply for them. And I was first kind of taken aback, like, oh, he wants me to leave. And then I sat back and I said, no, he really wants me to go and
grow and develop
and do this.
There's no better boss than a boss that will do that.
And he was great, and he still is a good mentor to me. And his wife has been the person who gave me my first job and kind of inspired me too. So,
Any other personal mentors outside of professional?
You know, I mean, my mother is 83 years old and is a fabulously positive, incredibly active senior. She's down in Florida now with her boyfriend because my father died a few years ago. So she has a place down there, and she's just a positive, great person. She always, 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 if we're going to go back to our childhood, encouraged reading, gave us books at every birthday. And she's just an incredible person, incredible mother, you know. So my father was great too, but yeah.
So you said you weren't involved in athletics in high school, but do you enjoy athletics, a sport or a team or anything like that?
Not really. I'm not going to say I don't, but I'm not going to say I'm like a big, huge. And I don't proclaim to be one of these people who's really into sports. My husband is, and my boys were crazy and still are about sports, and I went to all their games and watched everything. But I'm not like, I don't really sit around watching sports. I really like creative pursuits more, so I do that, and hey.
So I know you're involved with the Rotary Club of Elmhurst, and you were involved in Rotary in Lake Zurich for sure, and you've been president of the Rotary Club of Elmhurst, and you've only been here since 2011, and you've already been president, so good for you. How did that affiliation with Rotary start, and how much time do you spend with Rotary, and why are you so passionate about it?
Rotary is a great organization, and it started because Rotary in every town, and there is one in almost every single town, tends to be the civic leaders of the town and then other business leaders. So when I went to ELA in Lake Zurich, I was invited to join the Rotary, and my predecessor, my former boss, Dan Armstrong at Palatine, was in the Palatine Rotary, so I knew he was active in that. So when I went to ELA, it was a normal thing for me to do, and I really enjoyed that club. A lot of great people up there, and I was actually supposed to be president, and then I left and
got out of that one.
Yeah, I came here, and they still kid me about it. And when I came here, I joined this Rotary. Marilyn Boria was in it before me, and she took me to the meeting here, and I had always had the intention of joining. And this is just a fabulous group of people here in town. A lot of real selfless people who do a lot for the community and really believe in giving back. And yeah, they approached me a couple years in to be president, and I was president for a year. And before that, there was a lot of involvement too, because you're president-elect before that and vice president, and you're planning a fundraiser. And so I was very actively involved. Now I'm still involved, not quite as much as before, because you kind of pass that on to someone else. So it's a really great group of people though.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your kids, and I know a little bit about one of them, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but tell us about what your kids are up to. And
are they in the area?
Yeah. So my oldest, Molly, is 27, and she lives in the city in Lakeview, and she just finished her nursing degree last May, and she's actually a nurse at Northwestern in the city. Wow. And she's doing great. Mm-hmm. She just she's taking on special training to be on the diva team. It's not the diva, like, which knowing Molly, and those, no, but it's deep intravenous something where she's going to be doing ultrasound intravenous now for people who it's difficult to find veins. So she's doing great and loving her nursing career.
Living in the city at 20 something, living the dream.
Yes, having a great time. And my first son, Joe, is 26, and he lives in Wicker Park, and he actually works for a big file data transfer company, and he's a salesman and just got another promotion and is doing really, really well. He's actually, I think, now going up to Canada almost every week, and that's his territory for now. He just got this big promotion at work, so he's doing great. Wow. He played baseball in college and loves baseball. So then my youngest is Jack, and he is just finished up with 4 years in the United States Marines.
Excellent.
Yeah, so he's living back at home.
And where was he stationed when he was
there? He was in Hawaii. His permanent station was Hawaii.
Tough life.
Yeah, beautiful. He has some great pictures of himself playing golf on a gorgeous golf course in Hawaii, a couple of them.
Serving the country.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then he was in Okinawa twice, South Korea. So he was deployed over there. And he's back home now. I finished 4 years, and now he's kind of trying to figure out what he wants to do.
How did you feel about it when he enlisted?
I didn't like it at all. Not that I wasn't proud of him, but that's as a mother, I was incredibly worried, and I'm very glad to have him home. And I give him and everybody else who does it. I know your son is serving too, Rich, lot of credit. So
yeah,
it's tough.
You've got no choice but to be very proud of them.
Very proud, yes.
Even though it's tough to watch them take off, isn't it?
Very, very tough, yeah.
So what kind of music do you listen to now? We'll switch gears a little bit.
Oh, you know, I'm still so into that cheesy 70s stuff, like you said. I love
Firefall.
That stuff.
Yeah.
I love them. My husband and I go to the Arcata a lot out in St. Charles. He loves music, so he's always finding someone to go see out there, and they have all these great throwbacks. You know, I think we've saw, last one we saw, and this is kind of embarrassing, but true, was Air Supply. It was a really good concert.
Got it on my iPhone.
My husband even he get to see them. So we've seen them, and we see we went to Styx last year. Dennis DeYoung actually.
Yeah, I've seen Dennis, and I've seen Styx in the last 6 months.
He was great. We actually were going to go see Bruce out in New York City. We had the tickets to go see that intimate venue one, and we sold them to someone else. So we saw the Eagles recently. We saw the Eagles when we were in town a couple of years ago. We saw Neil Diamond.
He stopped touring, I heard.
I know. Thankfully,
so
we got to see. We saw Barry Manilow.
My wife's favorite. I've seen Barry 3 times.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of that stuff.
You know who the president of the Barry Manilow fan club is?
No, who?
Barry Manilow.
Is he?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we just saw him at Christmas. It was really fun, and I think we're going to see Billy Joel. My husband's parents are big concert goers, and they like to take us to these concerts. So we are pretty good with going along. We've seen REO Speedwagon. You know.
Have you seen Billy Joel in New York?
No, we're seeing Billy Joel here at Wrigley. I think he's playing at Wrigley over the summer.
Right.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of Ravinia. We go to Ravinia a lot. We used to, not as much anymore.
Do you go where you can actually see the stage? Or
no.
You,
no.
No need.
Exactly.
Yeah. A little cheese and a little wine.
Yeah.
And
my husband really likes still some heavy metal stuff, but he does that on his own too with other people.
Okay, one last question for you, Mary Beth, and this is going to be a tough one.
Okay.
What good book have you read recently?
Oh, that, you know, it's always so hard. I just read one called Grist Mill Road, which was really kind of interesting. It was one of those ones that I didn't know where it was going until the very end. The ending was a little bit flat for me, but it was interesting. You know, one of the nonfiction books that I listened to and didn't read was The Big Short. So I watched that movie and I found it fascinating. And I'm like, I got to read more about it. So I listened to the book, and it was a really good listen to because it's so complicated.
Right.
That, you know, and you will learn even more. But to me, that was a fascinating book.
This might be the start of Mary Beth's book club instead of Oprah's book club.
Exactly. I don't know. There's so many good ones that I read that sometimes it's hard for me to remember. I'm listening to The Alienist right now. It's also on TNT, and it's okay. You know.
Well, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope it wasn't too tough on you.
No.
And we really enjoyed the space here at... the creative space here at the Elmhurst Public Library.
So. Thanks for all you do. We love the library.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your coming here. It was a lot of fun to do the podcast, and this is a real professional thing you guys are doing here.
Don't let really it get around.
I wouldn't go that far.
Let's not get carried away.
I'm very impressed. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and please look forward to our next episode.